On this episode of Movies Ruined My Life, it's our third part.
What's up, motherfuckers? It's my show for the next 15 minutes. So you better listen up. Get ready to get edumacated, because I'm going to toss some shit at you. It's punk rock episode number 3. Good evening. I'm Anthony East, and today we are continuing our list of much-watched punk rock documentaries. Everybody's in a punk rock band. You got a couple of spoons together and you bang them, and there you go. Here's your punk rock band. So today we've got a lot going on, and without further ado, here we go. Today's entries on our list are Punk Attitude, End of a Century, The Story of the Ramones, 1991, The Year Punk Broke, and then I might give Brandon back the show. I haven't yet decided. I'm going to talk about two of my favorite documentaries, The Last Bogo and The Last Bogo Jumps Again.
Some real musicians came out of punk rock. Like, they really wanted to do some music.
Oh, yeah. First up is Punk Attitude. Don Litt's 2005 documentary follows trends in art, culture, politics, and uses them to lay a roadmap of the origins of punk rock, as well as its future, and maybe most important of all, its significance in history.
But that was the point at which the labels just stopped paying any attention to people who in the 60s would have been like Frank Zappa and Captain Beefheart.
And that's when the music got really interesting to me. That's when the rubber hit the road. And all of a sudden these guys are going, screw ya! I'm going for the music instead of what you think and what the genre wants.
This film, in very punk rock fashion, just throws all the fucking information at you. And you have to make up your own fucking mind.
They got a bucket full of grief from their fans. And you find out that punk rockers were some of the most narrow-minded people on the face of the earth. Talk about you grow your hair too long. What are you, a hippie now? And we found it in America. You try something like you put a guitar solo in a song. The song is longer than a minute and a half. And all of a sudden, like, what's that? Freebird?
Packed full of great interviews from countless punk legends, Punk Attitude is most definitely worth a watch.
This is Rock and Roll Radio. Come on, let's rock and roll with the Ramones.
This is where we used to hang out.
Any girls in Forest Hills would leave there to find a man somewhere else. It wasn't cool to be from Queens.
In the early 1970s, New York was empty. The reason we played CBGBs was there was no place to play.
I mean, these guys were not hippies. You know, this was something completely new. And the noise of it was just, it just hit.
All right, so next up, telling the story of the Ramones as it's never been heard before. 2003's End of the Century, The Story of the Ramones, Michael Gramaglia, say that 10 times fast, and Jim Fields' intimate look at those four kids from Queens that would change the fucking world.
Like white heat, you know, you couldn't put a cigarette paper between one tune ending and the next beginning. Like, crunk, couldn't have got tighter, you know, if you'd been in New Orleans all your life.
Nowadays, we look back and see the Ramones as this, like, unstoppable force, and often neglect discussing the vulnerability, passion, love, rage, regret, forgiveness, and overall onslaught of emotions that it would take to craft what we can only describe as some of the most important entries in the great American songbook.
Johnny was troubled. He punched Dee Dee in the head after the show if he missed a fifth. And Joey was troubled. He was so frail, he was always getting sick. They were all troubled.
The Ramones became the innovators of the minimalist, fast, dirty, noisy, aggressive sound that is still, to this very day, at the heart of all great American punk rock.
I mean, those songs are classic American pop songs. Why weren't they played on the radio?
This is a doc that's just packed full of performance and archive footage, as well as tons of great interviews with those influenced and affected by the revolution ushered in by the undisputed champions of punk rock. So put End of a Century on your must-watch list.
People of the universe!
All right, so 1991, the year punk broke. David Markey's candid behind-the-scenes look at life on the road with the likes of Sonic Youth, Nirvana, The Ramones, Fucking Dinosaur Jr., Gumball, and Babes in Toyland. The film came out in 1992, which makes sense because they shot it in 1991. 91 plus 1 equals 92. I've checked it. The math is sound.
This picture represents the fact that it's a live gig. See, this is the singer, the lead singer, singing live. It's live. You know, it's not a clone. It's not fake. This shit's fucking live, man!
The doc is mainly focused around Sonic Youth, but there's a lot of great footage of everyone else on the tour. And it's also cool if you can get your hands on the beefed-up re-release that came out a few years ago. You get all kinds of extra bonus performance footage, more Q&A stuff. You can really commit an entire day to watching the film and all the bonus bullshit that'll make you wet.
What do you think about when you're playing the drums?
Usually, like, my room at home, I'm thinking about, like, what I'd be doing.
Honestly, this one is hard to talk about. And if you can't tell, I'm having a rough time here. It can be a bit of a weird and manic viewing experience at times. But understand it's a slow build to the film's point. And understand how much you have to appreciate getting a candid look into the lives of some of the most creative people on the planet circa 1991. And it's pretty, like, it's really cool. So just go out and watch it and fucking thank me later.
Hey, Chad, scene one, take three.
Oh. Mickey.
You guys think you'll be doing the same thing in 5 years?
Filming?
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't take longer than 10 minutes. My car's double parked.
All right, so can I have my show back now?
I'll think about it.
You wanted to talk a little about The Last Pogo.
Yes.
And The Last Pogo Jumps Again.
Yeah, man. Which I still haven't seen The Last Pogo Jumps Again.
Okay.
Or Pogo but Jumps Again.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I remember we were talking about this. You don't like The Last Pogo.
No, Pogo, but sorry. I like Jumps Again.
Interesting. Why do you like Jumps Again more?
Yeah, it's stupid because I don't like the documentary, but I like the documentary about the documentary, you know?
So you like the special features.
Well, I like the passion that's come out of it. I like what it represents to people, you know? So for Jumps Again, it makes sense to me because people have turned that into something. People in Toronto, people who are looking back. So when all the interview footage of them looking back, punk rockers looking back at that time, people involved in the film looking back at the time, promoters, they have new insight to offer that I think was much greater. You know, say for example, if you go back and ask someone like Henry Rollins just after Black Flag broke up about Black Flag, he'd just be really upset about it. You know, like, what am I gonna do now?
Yeah.
You know, I got invited to join what became one of the greatest hardcore punk bands in America, and then I turn around and have nothing now. So from that perspective, like looking at this scene in the late 70s and going with the first one and going, okay, it's the last show we're ever going to see at the Horseshoe, right?
Before it went like a full-on like kind of country turn for about a good 5 to 7 years.
Yeah. And I understand your insights into it because you promote a lot of indie shows. But all I'm saying is to ask people who are really fucking pissed off and sad to like give you a candid look of the importance of something. It's just, it's hard, man. And I got, I have another reason why I dislike this film, but we'll get to that in a second. Please
tell you why I like the original.
Yeah,
I like it.
Convince me.
I like it because it's a straight up capture in time. You know, it is the horseshoe at the back end of the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only like, the movie itself is only like, what, 10 minutes? 15 minutes?
I think it's a 35, 45 minute movie.
Okay, even still, it's like, it's really short. It's not like your average documentary. You know what I mean? And I think that's what makes it even more kind of punk rock, is that it's not like a straight ahead documentary. There aren't straight ahead interviews. You can clearly tell the director who was doing it at the time was just a young kid that just realize that, oh fuck, this needs to be captured before we lose this moment. And then the whole thing ended in a riot, you know. So it is exactly kind of what you wanted it to be out of a punk rock documentary. It's a capture in time at the peak of the Toronto punk rock scene, for the last show to happen at the Horseshoe, from a young kid that felt that this whole thing needed to be captured. And it might not be the best, but it is definitely a portrait of that time. And that's why I really like it.
Okay, so you got to answer me something, though. Mm. How significant in the overall landscape of punk rock, or just even the culture surrounding it, say just as a counterculture movement, was what was going on in Toronto in that era? Because that's where my problem lies. This film, well, I have one other one, but this film, as much as like the bands are cool, like they're good, it sounds like music, you know, which is better than some documentaries about musicians, I hate to say it, but there's a lot of indie band films that just seem like masturbation. This one is, but it's more of a pat on the back for me, where it's like, hey, you know, we're good, we were doing it too. And it just doesn't seem as though, historically speaking, there's anything other than a promoter couldn't run shows for punk rock there anymore. Isn't that sad? Boo-hoo. But then from the punk rock side of things, looking at it just as pure, like, this is an important document for punk rock, does it mean anything? Because nothing happened as a result of this scene. Like, in all seriousness, indie culture, in large part, is so fucking segregated for the next 30 years in Toronto. It's a fucking mess, dude. Like, where finally the like Toronto started looking at the suburbs in the early, or in the late 90s and early 2000s, and we're like, holy shit, they know how to do it in like Burlington and, you know, Oakville, St. Catharines, Brampton, Mississauga for sure, and shit like that, you know, and going, oh no, you know, maybe we should get our shit together. And that's where all the good punk bands of the early 2000s came out of, that came out of Ontario. So I always have trouble talking about this film as a historical document. I like what you said about it being a time capsule piece, because it's something that you can just watch and be like, wow, that, you know, that happened. But I just don't know if it's that significant,
and that's,
for all of the fucking hoopla around
and
this
film. And I think that's, well, there's a couple of arguments there. The one argument is the fact that, like, you said it yourself, which is that was kind of like the last stand of like a Toronto kind of like music scene for a little bit. You know what I mean? Before like punk rock, you know, came out of the suburbs, like you were saying. But also, and I was reading Electric Youth by Sam Sutherland. And what's really interesting about that, and what he kind of tackles, is how buried and dead a lot of these great punk bands were. And what sucks about that is, you know, we're digging up the influence of bands that we now currently like. You know what I mean? Everything's just been so dead and buried because maybe it has been overshadowed by, you know, the American punk rock scene, you know? Because the only biggest bands that are still, like, memorable bands that came out of, like, Canada and, like, the late 80s punk scene still, that are still, like, kind of, like, standing, is, like, you know, the lead singer of the Vile Tones still kind of saying they're doing the Vile Tones. And DOA.
For sure.
And the Subhumans reunited for two shows in BC. You know? But that's about it.
But did we really have all that much to rebel against in that period? I'm not saying that there wasn't a counterculture movement. I'm just saying that the staple of a great punk rock scene has always been the community. Now, no matter what documentary we've talked about so far, whether we talked about the resurgence that we talked about in American hardcore, of that DIY culture that now goes on today, that you and I both copy with our respective bands, pretty much steal those ideas in terms of networking and so forth. Whether you talk about like the classic movement that was somehow kind of championed by these crazy people who somehow got the keys to the radio kingdom, if you will, and so forth. Like whether you talk about post-punk movements, like what you saw with bands that came out on labels like Factory Records and stuff like that in the UK, whether you talk about even stuff like we talked about Afropunk and that becoming a festival. We talked about the punk singer and how the feminist movement in punk rock just seems so fucking organic, and it's almost embarrassing that it took as long as it did.
Now, like, it's still at a point where,
oh yeah,
you know, I still believe there needs to be more women in punk
rock. Yeah, like on Wednesday we have an episode coming out on Ghostbusters, and you're going to get our thoughts on that film. And I think we were all a little bit weepy walking into that theater and seeing like mothers and daughters and fathers and daughters, you know, I'm getting goosebumps just saying it, but like actually being able to see four characters that are fucking heroes and role models for young girls, you know. But in any case, my point is just, I've gone all over here, but my point is just, there's always been significance to the whys of those movements, you know. And I just, because everything is so segregated, or was really up until, like I said, what I feel like the late 90s here in, especially in the Golden Horseshoe in Ontario, that I just don't know how much more than just being like, hey, that happened, this film can be. That's all I'm saying. But then again, on the flip side, I love Jumps Again, because I love the idea that people were so affected by people saying, hey, that happened.
Yeah, and I think that's why I like it.
Yeah, that's where the lesson of the film is for me. It's not what happens in the film, it's what happens after the film. And that's why Jumps Again makes so much more sense to me and is so much more pleasing to me. Yeah.
Fucking right. Well, you earned your show back.
Sweet.
Earned.
So do I have to close it out now?
Yes.
All right, so definitely go out and check out The Last Pogo. Check out The Last Pogo Jumps Again. Tell us what you think. If you're pissed off that we actually had an open conversation about one of these films and not all of them, well, you know, it's the only film on our list that's quintessential Canadian and from Toronto. So sorry, but fuck you, eh?
Word.
And thank you for filling in, East. That was fun.
No problem.
I got to take a leak.
No problem. I'll do it again sometime.
Yeah, for sure. The next two episodes, last two episodes in this series, are coming out next week, Sunday, and the week after. Thank you for listening. We're having so much fun doing this and going back and watching all these flicks that really affected us in our teenage years and even in our 20s. So please continue to check them out. Continue to tweet to us. We're at Mermel Podcast on Twitter. I'm at Not Brandon Fleet on Twitter. East, you want to offer up your Twitter?
Oh, yeah. I'm at Ant East.
Right on. And you can check out East on his show, Drunk with Power, which is out every Friday, Saturday kind of thing?
Friday.
Yeah, so subscribe. Subscribe, Drunk with Power. And yeah, this has been a lot of fun. We're going to continue doing it. Wednesday, we're back with an actual panel, so that's pretty exciting. We're doing Ghostbusters. It's going to be a long panel. I already know it. I'm really excited for that one. And subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, anywhere that you can get podcasts, whatever your favorite podcatcher. Find us there. If you can't, tell us and we'll rectify that situation for you. You can also visit us at moviesfrommylife.com. You can email the show at show@moviesfrommylife.com. And comment, like, subscribe, all that internet shit. We really like hearing from you guys, so please get in touch with us this week and every week and yell at us. So thanks for hanging out with us. I actually trust you to do it, as opposed to like handing it over to Devin and it's 2 hours of silence.
I'm having fun. Nick with the spot on Devin impression.
And if I gave the show to Nick, I just have all these angry feminists emailing me for the next month and a half. So.
Hashtag hotter broad.